Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. It's all good is a common contemporary phrase synonymous with saying chill out. However, the biblical necessity of being all good by God's standard should cause all sinners great concern in light of eternity. God is good. This ultimate truth is wonderfully good news for some, but terribly bad news for others. It really depends on where each individual is personally standing today in relation to God. Most people know that God is good, but as sinners, most people do not know that God's goodness is our greatest problem. If only God is all good, how can He not punish people for being bad? In this series, we're taking you in the studio and on the street with our outreach radio team to preach and teach the truth of God's goodness. Please, also, stay tuned until the end of the program when TCC radio host and local missions pastor Corey McKenna opens Scripture in hope that God will help all sinners to see who He is and who they are in truth, maybe for the very first time. But now, let's get this show on the road. In the studio
and on the street
with the Cross Current Radio Show.
The subject of this interview is, it's all good, okay?
Okay.
So, Evelyn, do you believe that you're a good person?
I think I'm a very good person, actually.
Okay, so what's your standard for goodness?
Doing no harm. So, as long as it's not hurting somebody else, you're doing pretty good.
Okay. So, do you consider yourself a spiritual person at all?
Not really. I'm atheist, kind of.
You're an atheist? Okay. Yeah. So, you don't believe in an afterlife or anything like that?
No, I don't.
Okay, so where do you, how do you know whether something you've done causes harm or not?
Based on the other people's reactions around you and...
Just immediate reactions?
Gradual reactions as well, if you can see that it's something's improving. It's just kind of common sense. It's in some people, it's not in others.
Right, right, because there's some people who just don't care. Right, and so where do you think that some people get the get a certain morale? If you're an atheist and you don't believe in any kind of higher power or anything like that, where do you believe some people get that from and some people just don't seem to have it or don't seem to care about it?
I think people get the spirituality from their parents.
Obviously. Well, morality, like what it means
morality.
To be good.
Okay, definitely from how they're raised. So if they're shown empathy when they're young, then they're definitely going to show empathy when they're older.
Absolutely, definitely. No question about it.
Yeah, definitely how they're raised, I say.
Yeah.
Or how... It's right. Also in personality, actually, too, so...
Right, right. Okay. So, do you believe, then, that there's an absolute standard for right or wrong, or good or bad? An absolute standard?
No, not an absolute standard. It depends on the situation. Oh,
yeah. Okay, so, do you think that it's ever okay for someone to molest children?
Never. Ever.
That sounds like an absolute.
Okay. There's no... Okay. Yeah, you're right. No situation is it ever okay to molest a child.
Okay. All right. So is it ever okay to lie?
Yeah, actually. There's white lies and then there's lies. And sometimes if you're lying for a surprise or something, or to maybe make the person feel better, like you wouldn't tell someone... that someone else was talking bad things about them, you wouldn't tell them, and that's technically a lie, but...
Not telling someone is different than lying to them. By lying, I mean actually saying something that's not true, right?
Okay, then if someone asked you, hey, did that person say something about me, and you say no, it's to kind of help them, it's so they don't feel bad about themselves. It's not hurting anybody, but it's a little white lie.
Okay, so there's absolutes about some things and not absolutes about other things, is that...
Agreed.
Okay, so what about stealing? Is that ever... I'm just going through a list here of things that people consider good or bad. So stealing, is that ever good?
I could give you a situation when it might help, but it's usually never good.
Okay, what about murder? Is it ever good?
No, it's not.
Okay. Now I'm a Christian. Okay, and this is a Christian show. Oh. So I'm just going to ask you something about but I want you to be totally open and totally honest with me. That's the purpose of these conversations. Okay. So in the Bible, Jesus said that that if you hold anger in your heart against someone, like bitterness, like anger against somebody, if you hold that against somebody in your heart, then that's the same thing as murder, but in your heart. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of hold a grudge against somebody and it'll cause you to take action towards them negatively. And if you just overcome that and see their perspective on things, you might be better.
Forgive them?
Yeah, forgiveness. I always forgive, so.
You always do. So you've forgiven everybody who's ever done anything against you, you think?
So far, yeah.
Okay. All right. Is adultery ever good? You know what adultery is, right?
Sexuality?
Adultery is generally just known as like cheating on your spouse.
Oh, no, that's not okay. You should tell them that you like somebody else or love somebody else and let them go on with their life.
Okay, I'm just going to refer back to something Jesus said also about adultery. He said if you even look upon, he was speaking to men, but this can apply to women also in the, if you just go vice versa with the sexes. He says if a man even looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Kind of like the murder thing. You can do it in your heart without actually doing it. Adultery. You can do it in your heart without actually doing it. Do you think that there's some merit to that, or what do you think about that?
I think there is some merit. I mean, there's obviously still attractive people out there, and it's actually kind of a compliment. You're still with that person after all of those beautiful people have passed by.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. But lusting after them, like wanting them, that's what lust is, right?
Okay. Well,
like looking at someone, I can look at a beautiful woman, acknowledge in my mind that woman is beautiful. I'm a happily married man. I can recognize a beautiful woman. It's when it crosses the line of lusting that's considered adultery in your heart. Do you understand the difference there?
Yeah. So I'd say if you want somebody else, maybe you shouldn't be with the person that you're with right now, and you should let them go.
Right. So even if I'm married, you think it's okay to just divorce that person if I find someone I like better?
No, but if you constantly find yourself weighing your comparing to others, then maybe she's not the right one.
Okay. So all of these that I'm asking you are based on what the Bible calls the Ten Commandments, okay? Have you got any kind of a background in anything like that at all?
Not at all.
Okay, so one of them is thou shalt not lie, right?
Yeah.
So I asked you about lying. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill, which means murder. It doesn't mean don't go hunting or don't have a war. You know, it means don't murder somebody, mm-hmm. right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is another one. Now these are in the Bible, they're described as God's standard for morality. That's only four out of many of them, mm-hmm. but that's a good example of them. So do you think that a person can do those things and still be a good person?
No, actually. It depends the severity, but usually no.
Right. So so if a person lies a lot, do you think that they're still a good person?
No.
Okay. How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably more than I can count, I will admit. But
yeah, absolutely. Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I've never done it to hurt somebody or to prevent someone from knowing someone else could be hurt or anything like that.
So. Right. You've done it to deceive somebody, though.
To deceive, yeah. Like, oh no, I did not sleep over at that person's house last night or something.
Right.
To my parents.
Right. Have you personally ever stolen something then?
Yes, when I was a kid, I stole dog treats from a store, and I thought they were free, but
right,
they weren't.
Right. So just going back to the lying thing, would you say you've told countless lies? I would say that about myself.
Yeah, countless white lies.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Okay, so have you told any lies that maybe were a little bit past white?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can't think of an example, but most likely I have.
Yeah, right. Okay, so there's a spot in the Bible where it talks about the lake of fire, which is like a final judgment for everybody, right? And it says, you know, fornicators and all that, like it lists off a whole list of things that people can do to get sent there. And one of them, it says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
Uh-oh.
Does that even trigger any curiosity in your mind or anything like that, or make you wonder about that, or What is that? What goes through your head when you hear something like that?
I guess, I don't think so, but I still think I would still be a good person after lying, just because where I am today, I haven't harmed somebody.
Right. So. Are you familiar at all with the Bible at all?
Not at all, almost.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just quickly give you exactly what it says about us, because all these things I'm talking to you about and asking you, have you done this, done that, I've done them all myself, right? So clearly, I haven't lived up to this standard either. And I'm not, just so you know, I'm not claiming to, you know? The Bible says that it is appointed unto man to want to live one time, okay? And then after he dies comes the judgment, okay? And the judgment is standing before God and being judged by him, okay? And his standard is perfection, all right? And so it goes without saying, the Bible also says that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us okay. have broken his law. Me, you, everybody. Okay? And so the Bible says that based on that judgment, we will go one place or the other, right? A heaven or a hell, mm-hmm. right? And of course, if anyone has sinned, the Bible says that they don't deserve to go to heaven, mm-hmm. all right?
Yeah.
And so hell would just be absolutely full of people. Right,
yes.
Because if
it would
if
reach heaven.
Yeah, if you were yeah, I've never heard it put that way, but if you had to stand before, say you're wrong about your atheism, right?
Okay.
And you had to stand before a holy God whose standard is perfection, and he judged you today, based on what you've done in your life. Do you think you'd be innocent or guilty before him of sinning against him?
I'd say all in all, innocent.
Innocent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. his standard is perfection, remember.
I'm pretty perfect.
I would be guilty.
Yeah, I think I'd be guilty. If it's perfection, then yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because his standard is himself. That's
not
how...
God, so...
No, exactly. that's how good and perfect and holy he is, mm-hmm. is that he can't even stand sin, mm-hmm. right? And now... So if that's the case, all of us are guilty and all of us deserve to go to hell, every one of us. And the problem with that is then who goes to heaven? Do you know who would go to heaven? Do you know what the Bible says about who would end up going to heaven?
I do not know, actually.
Okay, well, you've heard of Jesus Christ, of course.
Yes, of
right?
course.
What do you know about him?
Oh, gosh. That he, well, he was reincarnated and he... died for other people to forgive all their sins.
He wasn't reincarnated. He rose from the dead.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Right, okay, yeah. Just a little bit different there, so
a
I just wanted
fix up.
To
yeah.
yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that you know a little bit about him then.
Yeah,
see, 2000 so this is what God did. This is according to the Bible, this is what God did so that we could be forgiven mm-hmm. of our sin and so that he could still be holy and just and still punish sin. Because God is perfectly just, mm-hmm. right? That means that he must punish all sin. Every sin must be punished, right?
Fair.
Exactly, or it's not justice, right? Mm-hmm. If you walked into a court of law after committing a crime and the judge just let you go, that judge is not just,
yeah.
right? And God is far more just than any human judge, okay? And so because of his justice, he must punish sin. And so what he did was he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ never once sinned. He never sinned against God in any way. He never took his name in vain. He never lied, lusted, never stole anything, nothing like that. All those things we talked about, okay? And yet, at the end of his life, are you familiar with the way that he died?
What's it called? Artichoke. Thorns were on his
yeah.
head and he was nailed to a...
Nailed to a cross, that's
yes.
right. He was tortured and killed. Now, the Bible says that part of God's law is that the wages of sin is death, okay? And so because we've sinned, part of our judgment part of God's judgment on us is that we will die, okay? But Jesus Christ never sinned, and yet he still died. Can you venture a guess at why he died?
For the others.
That's right. That's right. The Bible says that your sin and my sin were put on Jesus Christ, and God's wrath was poured out from heaven on Jesus Christ that day that he died on the cross. And so, because God is just, he must punish all sin. And so, he punished your sin and my sin on Jesus Christ. He punished Christ as if he had committed your sin and my sin, even though he never had. And the Bible says that on the third day he rose from the dead, giving assurance to all men, proving what he said was true, proving who he said he was true. I mean, if I told you I was going to get killed and then rise from the dead, you'd think I was crazy. But if I did it, then you'd think that that would validate a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Other things that maybe I said. Okay, so Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners like you and me, and rose on the third day and ascended into heaven after some time. And the Bible says that if we'll turn away from our sin, repent, the Bible says, that means to turn away from our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ to forgive our sin based on what he did for us, not based on anything I can do myself, because there's nothing I can do to erase my sin. Mm-hmm. And so God must punish that sin. And so Jesus Christ died in my place. And if we'll repent of our sin and put our faith in him to forgive our sin, the Bible says that on that basis alone, we can be forgiven. And we can be, the Bible calls it being born again. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me when I was 22, which is about 9 years ago now. You're made a new creature, the Bible says. God's Spirit comes and dwells in you. You make Jesus Christ the Lord. You acknowledge him as the Lord of your life. And you read your Bible and you endeavor to obey those things that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible says that based on that, we can be forgiven. Does that make sense to you at least?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so does it make you think at all about heaven and hell and eternity? I know you said you're an atheist.
Yeah.
But do you ever have honest doubts as an atheist?
Not gonna lie, I don't.
You don't ever?
I don't ever. I'm a scientist girl. So
okay.
I'm taking biology at Laurier, and yeah, I strictly believe.
You only believe what you can see?
Yeah. No, that's not true.
Okay.
I believe what I think is the most... has the most evidence, and
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you seen more evidence for no God than you have for a God?
Yeah, kind of strictly by the fact that I've never seen God.
Right, okay, so what evidence do you have? So is that...
I'm like an evolution person, so...
Right, no, that's okay. I used to be too.
Okay.
Do you ever... Evolution doesn't mean there's no God, right?
That's true.
Right, so... I'm talking about the existence of God. Evolution is a separate matter as far as,
yeah.
as in my mind, as I've come to understand these things a little bit better, I really do see it as a separate issue. I don't believe it anymore, strictly because I believe in the God of the Bible, and I just believe, look, if he said that's how it happened, that's how it happened. And that's a matter of faith on my part, right?
Okay.
But evolution doesn't strictly cross out the... It doesn't strike out the possibility of God, does it?
No, it doesn't, but... I believe that because it was written in a book so long ago,
right.
People weren't as educated back then. They didn't know all the things that happened today, and I just don't think
right.
it's...
No, I'm just talking about, even if there was no Bible, I'm trying to separate evolution from atheism here,
okay?
Atheism is strictly you're convinced that there is no God, right?
Okay.
And so I'm saying, like, evolution, even if you believe evolution, that doesn't nix completely cross out the idea of there being a God at all, right?
Mm-hmm. But I still don't think there is.
Right. So would you say that you're more of a materialist? Like, you only really believe in those things that can be shown to you and you can handle with your hands and taste and that kind of thing? Or what do you base... What kind of criteria do you run in your own mind to decide whether you believe something or not?
Well, I guess it's evidence, but when it's in regards to God, I believe in astrology, and there's so many planets out there. Where could God be?
Right. You mean astronomy or astrology?
What did I say?
Astrology.
Oh, sorry. Astronomy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just making sure I'm clear there. So you think that God... See, here's what the Bible teaches about the question, where could God be? The Bible teaches that God created all of space, right? The universe, the word universe means a single spoken sentence, right? God said, let there be, and there was, right? That's where we get the word universe from. And God created that, not only that, he created time, he created matter, energy, information, all of those things. And he is outside of those things, right? So when we look at our universe, we're never going to find the place where God is.
Okay.
Because he is outside of it. He has, although his spirit works in it, within his creation, and there are certain ways that he has infiltrated his creation, such as when Jesus Christ came, all that kind of thing. And there are things that he does within his creation, but essentially he is the creator of it and is outside of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that he has made outside of himself, right? And he himself is eternal, which means without beginning and end. Anyways, just something to think about. But I understand that you got to get going. So I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For talking to me. Aveline, right?
Aveline.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Aveline.
No problem.
Will you give for us to go? Hi, this is Corey McKenna, founder of The Cross Current and host here on TCC Radio. After almost 8 years of equipping the church and engaging the culture, we've sensed the Lord leading us to expand this outreach radio show and make our gospel outreach resources available to you for free. That said, this will only be possible through increased prayer and financial support from more Christians who care. Would you please prayerfully consider giving to the Cross Current? This can be done easily by becoming a cross carrier who gives just $25 a month using our debit plan. As always, any monthly or one-time gifts of any amount would be greatly appreciated and are tax receipted. Simply visit thecrosscurrent.com/donate to securely set up the most suitable giving option for you. Canada needs Christ. Please give for us to go to them today.
Christian, we all want our lost ones saved, but how do we help them see clearly why Jesus has to be the only way?
What do you think the verdict would be, innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
What, based on that alone? No, guilty.
Would it concern you to go to a place like that?
I think so.
Do you have any idea what God did so that we could spend forever with him in heaven?
Gave his son.
In this next series, we'll follow in the footsteps of Jesus himself to help Christians build a rock-solid foundation for biblical evangelism. In the studio
and on the street
with the Cross Current Radio Show.
Hello, this is Paul Washer, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Hello again, this is Corey McKenna, founder of The Cross Current and host here on TCC Radio. And welcome back to the studio for a few closing comments on our fourth and final part of this series called It's All Good. Since part one, we've been saying that God's goodness is both wonderfully good news, but also terribly bad news, depending on where each individual is personally standing in relation to God. And that's why at the end of each episode, I've been teaching through three basic truths from Romans 3, verses 10 to 26, in hope that God helps you, our listeners, truly know him yourself, and then truly make him known to others. Truth number one from this passage is God's pronouncement that none is righteous, no, not one. Truth number two is God's proof. After pronouncing that no one is righteous, God lays down the law to prove that fact. And here's truth number three, God's pardon. Thankfully, God has extended to all people the opportunity to receive his pardon in full. And God's holy solution for our sin problem is found in Romans 3, verses 23 to 26. It reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In just four lines of scripture, God tells us how he has both satisfied his justice and demonstrated his love for sinners. And this entire problem is reconciled in just one word, propitiation. A propitiation is a sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God. And by God's own standards, only the one who has the right to condemn is the only one who can die. That's God himself. So God becomes a man, Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus have to be a man? Because death came through one man, Adam, and so life must come through another man, a son of man. That's Jesus Christ. And why did Jesus have to be God? Because as the judge of all men, he can only be the creator of all men, or a God-man. And again, that's Jesus Christ. But Corey, how can just one man suffering for a short period of time save many men from suffering for all time? Because that one man was worth more than all men put together. You see, when God speaks of a perfect sacrifice, he's not just speaking of sinlessness and perfect righteousness. He's also speaking of value. Jesus is infinitely more valuable than anyone else. And what does God say happened to his infinitely valuable son? Isaiah 53:10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. In a judicial sense, it pleased the Lord to crush him, him being his own son. Catch this. On the cross, the sinless Son of God became the sin of those he'd save, and he was crushed to death by his own father. Want to know how much God hates sin? When it judicially pleases the Lord to crush the most infinitely valuable one who ever walked the earth, what will he do to sinners? Please hear me. At TCC, we are not trying to persuade you to come to a religion or a ritual of men. We're pleading with you to be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God's pardon does not come at the hands of the sinful men who nailed him to a tree. God's pardon comes at his own perfect hand. As I speak to you, saved by God's amazing grace, please be assured I am not saved because of the brutal beating and physical persecution Jesus endured at the hands of sinful soldiers, though his blood was very much on my hands as well. I speak to you saved because on that tree, Jesus Christ bore my sins. He paid my fine in full with his life's blood, and he was crushed under his own father's holy, just hatred for my evil and wickedness. At the cross, God satisfied his justice and demonstrated his love because the cross is all of God and all of grace. And that's how he can be both, as the Bible says, just and the justifier of all those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And the fact that he raised Jesus from the dead 3 days later serves as proof positive that his plan to pardon worked. And right here, right now, God is offering you, our listeners, his pardon in full. Will you reject his pardon? Or will you receive his pardon? Please, repent of your sins and believe the gospel today. Well, thanks again for listening to this series of the Cross Current Radio Show. You can access this podcast online at tccradio.com. And to learn more about how the Cross Current can equip you and your church by example to be Christ's witnesses together, please visit thecrosscurrent.com. Finally, for answers to all questions related to science and the Bible, please visit our friends at creation.com. We trust you'll join us next time. And until then, I'm Corey McKenna in the studio and on the street, keeping the cross current in our culture.
Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.